Blog Talk Radio.
The first time she heard these words, she was 3. And it came from a mommy. You so ugly. And what she didn't understand is that everybody said that they look just alike. So by the time she got to school and she would hear those words, she would always fight. See, she believed that they were scared of her, that they would keep their mouth closed. Because see, she never talked back to her mother because she feared her soul. But at night, she would stare up at the moon and fantasize about being that butterfly that hatches from that cocoon. Beautiful. And so the mother would open the bedroom door and scream, take your ugly ass to sleep. And now several times a week, she contemplated suicide, like running and jumping out the window and even flying or even hitting the concrete. See, she figured that either way would bring her peace. But instead, she cried herself to sleep, realizing that the only thing that she didn't want to be in life was a mommy. So she changed her ways, and that affected her grades. Damn, it feels good to be praised. But in the hallway, she could still hear them say, you are ugly as shit. And the girls that they thought was pretty, she realized they had their own insecurities. So she would help them with school so she could have a chance at being cool. Because if a boy never had to choose, it will never be you because you are ugly as shit. But then her chest became pounds and her butt got round and little dudes started to circle around. See, this is the first time she realized she ever had a name. Damn, it feel good to be praised. And when they used to touch her, she wouldn't say a thing because the last time she refused, the Lord do say, Shorty, what's wrong with you? You ain't know all that, and as a matter of fact, you are ugly as shit. So to keep her friends, she got a job so she can give them a little bit of ends. But now she can get her hair done and her nails and her feet right, and every time she buys an outfit, she makes sure that it's extra tight to give society what it really likes. But little did she know there was a whole city being built inside of her soul. So to fill her head, she used to jump from bed to bed. And then when she went to the doctor, y'all know what he said? You pregnant. Her biggest fear has come true. So when the baby was born, she was confused because everybody was saying that the baby was so cute and that the baby looked just like you. And then one night, she wanted to put the baby to sleep, but the baby wasn't ready. So may she just weep. Until her mother got frustrated, stood over the crib, take your ugly ass to sleep. And if we don't start loving each other and ourselves, the cycle will just repeat.
Wow. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Delicious Talk. This is a segment on Bringing Sexy Back. I'm your host, Gail Delicious Johnson. That was the infamous Mr. Lamont Carey with one of his very poignant poems, spoken word, You Ugly. And that's a poem about a young lady whose mother, you know, calls her ugly and how she goes through life. Well, I'm quite sure you heard the poem. If you didn't, you can go on YouTube and listen to it. All of his works are very poignant lyrics when he speaks of these things. He also has another piece out that I will be playing sometimes later on in the show called She Loves Me. And hope everybody's having a beautiful evening. It was a beautiful day out today. It's been beautiful all this month. Thank God for that. Hopefully we have a mild winter. It looks like it may be mild, but if not, the days will still be beautiful because, you know, as long as we wake up any day, it's a beautiful day. Hope everybody's prepared for this evening's show. It's domestic violence, the undercover abuser. You know, every 9 seconds a woman in the United States is assaulted, and 1 in 3 women have been beaten. Domestic violence is the leading cause of injury to women more than accidents, rapes, or anything else that's going on. So what we're going to do this evening is we're going to be talking about the undercover abuser and the abuser, period. But there is an abuser out there that's the undercover abuser, and he's the guy who's the gentleman in public and gets you home or wherever, and he's the undercover abuser. I've been in that situation myself, and I'm also a survivor of domestic violence, molestation, and rape. So, you know, I want to say to you women out there that are going through any type of adversities in your life, you know, you're not alone, and you can become a survivor. So with that being said, I'm going to bring in my guest co-host for this evening, and we're going to get this show on the road. Good evening, Terry. How are you, darling?
Hi there, Gail. How are you? This is Terry B., and I'm really glad to be here tonight. This is a very serious subject. It's not to be taken lightly, and I'm also a survivor of domestic abuse, physical abuse, rape, and a few other things.
Wow.
I would also like to say, wish my daughter a happy 43rd birthday today. Leslie in New York, happy birthday, honey.
Happy birthday, Leslie. Yeah. Well, you know, like I had mentioned, it is, and, you know, yourself, it's very serious when, you know, women are being abused and, you know, being in these relationships and, you know, not getting out of them soon enough, because some of them leave out in a body bag, some of them leave out blinded or burnt up or, you know, something, they don't get out clean. So we need to educate women and let them know what to do in these circumstances, in these situations, how they can, you know, get out clean if possible. And, you know, women, we need to speak up, let somebody know what's going on behind those closed doors, because it's a matter of life and death for some women. You know, and some women are so afraid until they won't say anything about it, you know, are too afraid to come forth and do anything about it. So we're going to try to let these women know that there are ways that you can get out of those situations and, you know, to use them. And I'm going to bring on my other co-host. Good evening, Rhea. How you doing, darling?
I'm fine. Good evening. How are you?
I'm okay. We have Miss Terry Brown here as a guest co-host this evening.
Hi, Terry.
Hi, Rhea. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good.
Right. Well, we were just speaking of, you know, the topic at hand, domestic violence. And since this month, there was quite a few things going on this month. It was the month of eczema, the month of breast cancer, and also domestic violence. And I think that, you know, domestic violence is very important every day, you know, not only for the month of October. Every day women need to be aware and to receive the help that they need, opposed to being, you know, like I had mentioned as well, being taken out of the relationship in body bags or taken out half the woman that they were when they went in. So we're going to be discussing the undercover abuser. And there are so many forms of abuse that, you know, some women may not even associate it with being abuse, because some women who are married to their husbands are raping them, and they don't consider that as being rape because they feel, well, I'm his wife. If you tell your husband no and he forces himself on you, that's rape. I don't care if you've been married 1 month, 2 months, 2 years, 3 years, or 100 years. When you tell your husband no, and it may be a thing, you may be sick, or, you know, something may have gone on that may have caused you to tell him no. And if he forces himself on you, that's rape, and you do have the right to report him and, you know, to stop that. Because I'm just seeing so many things, programs on television where the women are coming forth saying how their husband is constantly raping me. My husband's not going to constantly rape me. That is not going to happen, because, number one, in them vows, it did not say that he could rape me. I mean, I know I have to be in submission to my husband, but there's a limit, and there are certain things that require you to be in submission to your husband. It does not mean that you have to be their slave and you have to do things that are not happy in that marriage for them, to please them. It's a joint effort. So if your husband is, you telling your husband no, he's raping you, you do have the right to report him, and he should get the same time and the same punishment as if someone was, as if it was a stranger. Because, you know, it's not right. And the undercover abuse, we're going to do that one first. That's kind of like something that I want to talk about, because I have been verbally abused by, you know, a person. And verbal abuse sometimes can be harsher than being physically abused, because you're going to always have that in your mind, how someone talked down to you or things that they said to you that left a bad impression, you know, in your heart, your mind, your soul. So, you know, just to be verbally abused is sometimes a bad thing too. And they, you know, they be out in public, they're grinning and laughing and want everybody to believe that they're such a good person because they do this, they're such a good person because they said that they did this. But trust and believe, their real self will come out somewhere, somehow. And I was at the receiving end of this particular person's abuse. And like I said, it affects a person mentally. And sometimes when I'm thinking about it, I get chills. And then I have to say to myself, well, it's over with, but just the point, it's been put on me mentally. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? So opposed, maybe if he hit me or something like that, the bruising and stuff would be gone. But this is mental. Mm-hmm. And hopefully one day it will just subside and be in the back of my mind, so far in the back of my mind till it doesn't even surface anymore. You know, and then verbal abuse can lead to physical abuse too. You know, because you have women say, well, he just screams and hollers at me. Well, you know, he's going to get tired of screaming and hollering at you. And that's when he's going to start hitting you. Mm-hmm. You know, you need to nip it in the bud. And, you know, people, when they talk down to you, they generally are going through something themselves. They are trying to make you feel small because they're small.
Mm-hmm.
You know, trust and believe, it's not your fault, and you do not have to take that abuse. So, Terry, you had mentioned that you have been through the whole gamut as well. Can you speak on some of the things that you have been through?
Oh, yeah. My first husband was a joy. He still is, although, you know, he's my ex, but my daughter's father never had that problem with. My second husband, I married when I moved to California, was a maniacal nut. Of course, I didn't know this, and I was so in love with this man, I couldn't see the day for the night. I mean, I really, really loved him. But the first problem was, and I didn't realize it, was he was 10 years younger than me.
Mm-hmm.
And he acted like it.
Mm-hmm.
And he never, ever raised his voice at me. He never raised his hand to me until the day after we got married. This
wow.
is absolute truth. This man, I'm laying here and I'm shaking right now because I've never publicly spoken about this to anyone,
mm-hmm.
you know, just my immediate family or whatever. But I was, this man, I can't even begin to tell you, not only was he physically abusive to me, but later down the line I found out that he was also sexually too much for me, and I found out the reason why. And it's not, don't get me wrong, I'm not putting any kind of labels on anybody, but I found out he was bisexual.
Oh, my goodness.
And this was something I did not know when I met him. I did not know until maybe 3 or 4 years after we were married. I had no clue.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was thinking about it later on, and I kept saying to myself, why is he always looking in the mirror? Why is he always buck naked, looking in this mirror from top to bottom, you know, looking at himself like he's all that. He had a beautiful body. Yes, he did. But that was strange. But I didn't put it to that. You know what I'm saying? I just figured, oh, you know, he likes the way he looks. But at that time in my life, I had moved to California. I was very naive. I was a very nice young lady. I was growing up on Long Island, I was sheltered from a lot of stuff that I had no idea even took place. When I moved to California, all that changed. Mm-hmm. And I was really in love with this guy. And he just came in. We got married, and he just went to town. I mean, as far as even coming to my brother's place, knocking the door down. I ain't talking about off the hinge. I'm talking about down, looking for me.
Wow.
I mean, this was ridiculous. I had never been through this. He came to my brother's house looking for me because I had left home because I was afraid of him. Took all my clothes and burned them up and did, you know, all kind of, took all the phones out the wall, just snatched them out. And I would tell one of my best girlfriends the things that he was doing, and she couldn't believe it because he was the most soft-spoken person you could ever meet.
Right.
Just
mm-hmm.
soft. I mean, you could barely even hear him. His voice was so soft.
Right.
It was soft because he was doing other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But he was a good-looking guy, had a beautiful body, and he just, nobody ever believed me. And I told my girlfriend, I said, oh, you don't believe me? Come to my house. She came over to my house, and all three of my phones were snatched out of the wall. My whole bedroom looked like a tornado had hit it, where he had just thrown everything all around, including me.
Mm.
And, you know, it just got worse and worse. And I stayed with him physically for 6 years, going through this with him. I worked all the time. And he ran around, and he would get jobs and quit them. And I would come home from work, and he'd have his feet up on the table like he had to work.
Mm.
And it was a situation where I just didn't know what was going on. I had no idea. You know, I had to call my brother a couple of times to come and save me. You know, it was horrible. And then at one point he told me, he said, you know what your problem is? He said, you're too nice. You're too nice. You don't never speak up for yourself. Well, long story short, as the years went by, I got to be a real bitch.
Mm-hmm.
I did, because of things that had happened to me, where he had done to me in another relationship. I just got to be a real bitch. And I had this, and then I became sort of like an abuser myself.
Mm.
Because I had this thing in me that I said, one more guy ever put his hands on me, he's a dead MF.
Mm-hmm.
And I meant exactly that. And to this day, I feel that same way. But with that husband, it was total chaos in my life. I had a partial nervous breakdown at one time going through all this. And, you know, I went to work every day on the bus, and the bus driver would say to me, he was on a layover, and my stop was at a layover.
Mm-hmm.
And he would say to me, come here, I want to ask you something. I would come up to him. He said, every time you come to work, every afternoon I would go in at 1. He said, you seem like you've been crying. He said, well, what's the matter? And I just started telling this bus driver, it was just me and the bus driver, about what was going on with my husband and how he was treating me and this and that. So every day I would get on the bus, I would sit up front, and he would talk to me, and he would say, you know, you don't have to put up with that. He said, you know, you need to think about doing something about this. Well, of course, I was scared. I didn't know what to do. I was afraid. Plus, I loved him so much.
Right.
And then one day, I called a girlfriend of mine who still lives in California. We are still friends to this day. This was back in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to her, I am making a plan. I said, if I call you in a moment's notice, I want you here to pick me up and I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
So this went on for maybe about 6-7 months. One morning I woke up and I looked in the mirror and I said, you know what? I'm done. I packed all of my shit. I don't know where he was, out running the street with some girl down the street. Caught him with that, too, but anyway. So I called on the phone. I said, it's time. And she came and got me. And this son of a gun was so into himself, he didn't even know where I worked, which was good for me because when I left that house, he didn't know where I was for a whole year. I mean, a whole year. He didn't know whether I was dead. He didn't know anything. So she came and she got me, took me to her place, her and her boyfriend's place, and I changed my bus route. And then one day I went downstairs when I knew the old bus driver would be coming past my job, and I told him, I said, I left. And he said, you did? I said, yeah. I said, I left him. Well, end up, me and him started going out. But anyway, that's another story. But my point is, I was physically, emotionally abused because I was too nice a person.
Wow.
Too
well,
nice
let me
a person.
Ask.
That was just one story. Uh-huh.
Right. Well, let me ask you this. You said he was bisexual. When did you find that out? Was it before you left or after you left? Or
I
when did you find
out,
that out?
He had gone to jail. He was a thief. He liked stealing cars. He had gone to jail, and I waited for him. When he came, he was in jail for 2 years. When he came out, stupid me, I went back to him, and he had had some stuff up in the closet. We were living at his father's house. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at some of the stuff when he wasn't there, and I was reading this stuff about stuff that you would know that it pertained to another man.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying to myself, what the hell? Not only that, when I lived in California, anybody who's ever lived in California, I lived in Hollywood. And they have two streets in Hollywood. One is Sunset Boulevard, and one is Melrose. Mm-hmm. Sunset is where the hookers, the women, go. Mm-hmm. Melrose Boulevard is where the men go.
Mm-hmm.
One day I was down in that area for whatever reason I was driving, and I saw my husband standing on the corner with some cut-off shorts and a wife beater shirt on.
Oh, wow.
This is when I knew something wasn't right. Then I started putting two and two together with all this stuff I had been reading from whoever he was writing in jail, some guy. And I'm like, holy shit. And then all the stuff started coming out that I realized that this guy ain't who I thought he was. You know what I'm saying? And this was the age of AIDS, the 80s, the beginning of the 80s. And I'm saying, oh, my God. So all this stuff I found out that my husband was bisexual.
Mm.
And like I say, I have nothing against gay, straight, whatever you want to be. If you like it, I love it.
Right.
When it comes to me being your wife, that ain't the way it's supposed to go.
Mm.
So that was another fear for me. You know, I'm thinking, oh, God, you know, I could be getting this, I could be getting that. You know, it was a whole bunch of stuff. So that mentally broke me down. You know, and that was my second marriage. Yeah, and when I finally got out of that one, I was gone. I mean, G-O-N-E exclamation point, gone.
Well, let me ask you this as well. Now, you said he was 10 years younger than you. Where did you guys meet?
The same girlfriend who came and got me when I decided to leave, he was a friend of her boyfriend's.
Oh,
she had a Thanksgiving dinner. And she invited me, and he invited him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I met him. And from the day that I met him until we were never apart. We got married about a year later, and that's how I met him, at a simple Thanksgiving dinner.
So there were never any signs that he was bisexual?
Never. Never.
Wow.
There was never any signs that he was a habitual liar. There was never any signs that he was a thief. There was never any signs that he was bisexual. There was never any signs at all. This was found out through trial and error. So I didn't know any of that. And like I say, I don't talk about this. Nobody knows this. You know, that's why I tell people, you don't go around judging people's lives. You don't know what the hell people have been through.
That is true.
You know
true.
What I'm saying? And that's just with him. I'll let somebody else talk, but I had another 4-year relationship where I thought I was going to die. I had to actually leave a state because I
this
thought
was after,
I was
this was after
die.
That husband.
Yes, this was right before I met my husband that I have now, who I've been with for 20 years, who's never raised his voice, his hand, or anything to me.
Mm-hmm.
This was right before I met my husband that I have now. I had a 4-year relationship with another guy from California who just totally just broken, fractured ribs, fractured foot, hospital, you know, the whole nine yards. The whole nine yards. I've been through it all. I was raped when I was 16, when I was in high school. I've been through a lot of stuff. I've been stabbed in my chest where I almost died.
Is this by a boyfriend or?
No, this was by a boyfriend's ex-girlfriend.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. on a corner of the town that I live in. This woman got out of her car and stabbed me in my chest. Within an inch, I couldn't even talk. My lung was collapsed. I'm telling you, God is good. I'm going to tell
you right now.
Okay? So when people start talking about people and this and that, I'm going to tell them straight up, shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. Because you don't know what somebody else has been through in their life.
That is true.
I said, I talk about a lot of stuff. I love life. I love people. I'm on Facebook 24/7. But this is not something I choose to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
But I just felt that, and you know I've been sick for the last couple of weeks.
I said,
this is something that I need to get out. I need to get out to young women that they do not have to deal with this shit.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Because that's exactly what it is.
Right.
And the second guy that I was with for 4 years, oh, my God, he was a heavy guy. He was about 400 pounds. But I really cared about him. But he didn't have any self-esteem, and he thought that every guy was looking at me because I'm real little. And he always thought, and I've always been on the ball. I've always done things. I've always been, you know, I've always done my own thing. And he was jealous of me. And if I would go into a store, he would turn around. I mean, he would slap me in a supermarket and say, what are you looking at that guy for? This is the crap that I went through. Until I said, the next MF that puts his hands on me is a dead MF. And I never had to say it after then. Because I don't know if it had anything to do with it, but he ended up, I had to leave him in Boston. We were living in Boston, and I left the state of Boston, went back to New York. He followed me back to New York when he found out what I had done. He ended up dying in New York.
Wow.
He's dead. But my feelings still are here. You know, I have, like, post-traumatic stress syndrome from being beaten and all the different things that I went through. And he's dead. But I'm still suffering through it. So I have to thank God for a lot of stuff in my life.
Right, because it could have been you, the one that was dead.
It could have been me. Right.
Wow.
So this is what I went through. And and a lot of thousands and thousands of women go through this every day. The undercover abuser.
Yeah.
People that would never know that they get you at home and they beat the friggin' crap out of you.
Yeah.
Just because you're you. Because you speak up or you say what you... No, they don't want to hear that. You are nothing. You are subservient. My self-esteem was zero. Zero. I had to build my own self-esteem up to know the worth that I had. Okay? And you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, ma'am, I definitely
do. So many women out here, young girls and women who go through this, and they don't know what, and people say, well, why don't you just leave? Honey, let me tell you something. Unless you're in it, you don't know.
Right, because it's not really that easy, because when they tell you, I will kill you, your children, your whole family, you know, you have to be very precautious when you try to leave an abuser, especially one that is mentally deranged and crazy.
Yeah, I had to sneak out of Boston. I was at work, and I switched days with another girl. And the day that I switched with her is the day I left. Because I knew if he knew I was leaving, he'd kill me. What kind of shit is that?
Wow. Well, they become possessive, and then to the point where I think they don't have any type of feelings for real, because love does not hurt. And if you love somebody, you're going to be nurturing to them. You're going to care for them.
Right.
You're going to treat them like the queen or the king that they
are. Like my husband does to me now, yeah. And that was a shock, too, because once I met him, I'm looking, thinking it's the same thing going to happen over and over again. You know what I'm saying? And I tested and I tested and I tested him. I put him through everything known to man. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I said, oh, no, he can't be like that. And, I mean, it was so bad that I just couldn't see another guy being a decent person, which was not fair to him.
Right. Well, see, that's how they get you. They get you to a point where you have no self-worth, and you actually believe that every man that you get in a relationship is going to be like this man, because that's all the relationships you've been in. You know, not doing it on purpose, because sometimes men have a tendency to put on this facade. They're so sweet. They're this, they're that. But, you know, they're undercover abusers. That's exactly what they are.
Didn't want me to work, you know, would do something to me where I would be out of work. I would be on crutches because I couldn't, you know, for 6 weeks until my leg healed, you know, fractured foot, fractured ribs, all kind of stuff, Gail. All kind of stuff. The God's honest truth.
Yes,
I tell
is.
You.
You well, know, we have a caller with their hand up. Let's see what they have to say. Caller 619-761, are you there?
Yes, hello.
Hi, do you have a question or a comment?
Oh, of course. Of course, you know, Terry, I love you.
Is this Mark?
Yes.
Hi, Mark. It's my friend from San Diego.
Yes.
Hi, darling.
Hi, darling.
Hi, Mark.
And, you know, hi, dear. And you know what? I've been listening to your whole story, and I almost started bawling. I think it's tragic what you had to go through to learn how men treat women sometimes. But you know what? I also thought that women have to be raised up in such a way to say, how do you raise women to, you know, by their mothers to guard against men? I mean, what do you do? I mean, how do you guard against this type of abuse?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody ever taught. Yeah, okay. Does anybody have an answer for this?
I can interject on that. One of the things we as women have to do is, and it's not, I shouldn't say we as women, one of the things that parents have to do is to raise their daughters to love themselves just as they are, okay? Accept yourself and love yourself as you are. Now, I didn't have self-esteem when I got into my relationship that turned into a 19-year relationship, 14 years of marriage. Well, just under 19 years. And,
I think.
Pardon me?
No. It's all good, I think. 14 years is a long time. So hold on.
That was 14 years of pure hell. And it's by the grace of God that I am living here. I'm not going to go into any massive story, because the stories I tell, and I share mine, I do not share fibrously, but if I see where my story may help somebody, I share my story, because the person I am today is not the person I used to be.
Absolutely.
I say that we all are not, but I grew to from a deadly shy person, a person that had no self-esteem whatsoever. The only place I found self-worth was in my mind, and that was by getting good grades. But it wasn't enough. You asked the question, how do you raise the girls up differently? Well, I can tell you right now, I broke the cycle.
So did I.
My daughter
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Self-sufficient, self-loving, caring, giving individual, but she's not going to take no shit off of nobody, including her mama. And
yeah,
I can stand firm in that. I did that.
Yeah,
I did that by myself. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Had she had a loving father, it would have been an easier job.
Well,
because,
yes, that goes without saying. I know. But, I mean, I was heartbroken. Excuse me. I was heartbroken through the whole narrative that she talked about, being on Melrose and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it breaks my heart that Terry had to go through that shit. You know? How do women guard against, you know, abusive men before the fact, before it's too late?
Well, I'm going to interject
exactly
again. I'm going to say something. My dad passed away when I was a teenager, and that is the, I think that was the thing that changed my whole life forever. because
really?
My dad was my life, and he was a man's man. And I believe that had he lived, my life would have been totally different. I really believe that. And my mother was so devastated by his death, she didn't even know who she was. But I broke the cycle with my own daughter, believe me.
You did?
And I thank God she never had to go through a day of this type of action from any man.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Maria, you're absolutely correct.
I'm so happy to hear that.
Yeah. Well, I know when I finally left my marriage, I did not plan on it. There was one time during the course of the marriage that I did plan on leaving, and he found a suitcase I had packed in the closet.
Oh, Lord.
And
like that?
I was lucky I made it out of that apartment alive. And I sit back and I think about that, and I used to think about that, and it's like, But to answer your question, how do they guard against it? When a person show you who they are, damn it, believe them. I knew who he was before I married him. I can't say I was blind to that. I knew who he was before I married him.
Was he a cheater?
That's the love I had for this man. And once I got pregnant by this man, it's like that love just grew, especially seeing him with our child. And I should never have married him. And I knew that before I did it, but I did it. So I look at it like this. I'm 50 years old. I've had my lesson. And it looks like I may have found my blessing.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. And I waited till God put that person back in back in my life after then. But when a person shows you who they are, you need to believe them, and you need to not think that things are going to make it better.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what I thought. His lifestyle, and my lifestyle was different. He did not come from a home where he or loved by anybody. And I thought that in showing this man love and showing this man support and showing this man that I cared, that it would have changed the direction of his life, thus changing the direction of our life. And it didn't.
Well, I hope you don't consider him the love of your life. I hope not, because I will. No. I'll reach right through
his
airway.
No, I don't consider him the love of my life.
That's a joke, honey. I think that you both have been very courageous in your relationships. I mean, I've been listening all night, and I think both of you have done all you can to repair all the damage that men have done to you. And apparently Terry new attitude is on the right path, and I hope you are too. You know?
Right.
Thank you,
well,
Mark.
Thank you, Mark.
For calling.
Thanks for calling in and hanging there with us, okay?
Will do.
Okay, Mark.
Yeah, thanks, Mark.
Now, as I was saying, when I left, it wasn't something that was planned. It was all I can say is that there was a shift in tasks. I have went on I worked for a national sorority, and every year we had conferences for about 11 years. This one particular year, we had a conference. It was their Boulez, which is their international conference, and I was in. It was either Atlanta or Texas, one of the two, for like 2 weeks. It could have been Florida, but I was at their conference for 2 weeks. At the end of their conference, I shipped a suitcase home, well, shipped the suitcase with my work clothes in it, back to the headquarters, which was here in Chicago, and I took a train trip to Boston, and I was in Boston for 13 days. So for almost this whole month of August, I was gone, okay? And when I was in Boston, I got a, I'm going to say almost a spiritual awakening. First of all and foremost, I stood in the space of our ancestors at the northest end of the Underground Railroad. And I felt something. I'll put it like that. There was a church. There was a place that a bombing had occurred. And I was in, we was walking in the door, and I stopped at the door. And all, and two of the people that were in front of me turned and looked at me, and the tour guide immediately said, "What's wrong?" Was wrong, because I guess it was my face. I couldn't go any further. Matter of fact, I was trying to turn around and run. So I just need to get out of there. I didn't know what had occurred there yet. But that was, it was a severe bombing that had occurred there. And I guess I was still in the residue or whatever. And seeing all this and being around all this, it kind of makes you look at life a little different. And then, silly me, not knowing no better, there had been a huge race riot the night before we came there. And we were one block over from where it, you know, was the biggest part of it. I didn't know that. I went walking in the neighborhood. I mean, I walked in the store, and everybody in the store stopped and looked at me. Well, I was the only black person in the store, and I thought that had something to do with it. It really wasn't that. It was, how dare you come in this store. But I didn't know that until I got back to the hotel, and the maitre d' fussed at me. no, you know, and that's how I found out. But anyway, something changed in me there. And that was the first time I read the Daily Word. And I sat back, and when I came back to the city, I was getting out the car to go in the house, and I couldn't move. And then the tears started falling. And my sister looked at me, and she said, "You can have my living room floor for as long as you need it," because she only had a one-bedroom. Mm-hmm. And it was me and the kids. We could make pallets. And I looked at her, and I said, "Okay." And we got back in the car. She helped me back in the car. And we went to her place, and I never looked back. Mm. Now, during the course of that, my life almost changed again, because he wanted to do harm to me because I left him. And after being fearful for about a month and a half, when he saw that I really wasn't coming back, I devised a plan. And basically, I devised a plan to beat the hell out of him.
Mm.
And I set up a certain area with the bats I had in my house and a couple of 2x4s, because I needed something that's going to keep distance between me and him. And I was ready for it. My
wow.
son, who is 28 years old today, this as of now, was 11 years old. When I tried to leave out the house, that child would not let me leave out the house for nothing in the world. I smacked him even and told him to go back to bed. This child said, "No, ladies don't go out by themselves at night. I'm going with you. You can't leave me." And he kept saying, "You can't leave me. You can't leave me." And because of that child, I stayed in the house. And that's probably why I'm not doing time now. That's probably why I didn't get in trouble now. That was my saving grace. But when I actually left, it wasn't because of anything that, it wasn't me more so. It was because of the buildup of things. Because right before I went on that trip, my children had a horrible time because he went on this real drunken stupor and he kept them up during the night and they had to go to school sleepy and tired and this, that, and the other. And I was, you know, it's one thing for me to decide to stay there, but it was another thing to do it to them. And ultimately, I do know the reason that I left was because I could not subject them to that anymore.
Wow.
It took me a number of years to heal. The first 10 years, I can be honest and tell you, I didn't even think about anything but raising these kids. I had four children, and I needed to take care of my children.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked multiple jobs. I've had 3, 4, and 5 jobs at a time, a weekend job, a night job, a day job, which is my full-time job, and 2 seasonal jobs. I've worked and put them through school, got them situated. I wanted to give them that better part of life than I had because I wanted to give them a fighting chance because I wasn't paying for college. You need to be scholarship worthy. And that was my goal, and I achieved it. As of May, I'm the mother of 4 college graduates.
Amen.
You know,
wow,
and I just sit back and I look at that whole thing, the way it worked. And the one thing I can say, the starting point is this. You have to teach our girls to accept themselves and love themselves for exactly as they are. Because nobody is perfect. Nobody likes everything about them. But when you try to keep up with the Joneses and keep up with the misses and got to be the one who pulled the most dudes and all this and the other, it starts a whole cycle that can send you plummeting into an abyss that it's hard to crawl out of.
Yeah. I have one saving grace in all of this. My second husband never, ever said anything to my daughter. The boyfriend that I had for 4 years never, ever said anything to my daughter. And when I saw that things were getting out of hand, she went to my brother's house, and I dealt with the aftermath. But she was never a part of that, and I thank God that neither one of them, because I would have definitely had to kill somebody, neither one of them ever affected my daughter in any way. And I'm proud to say that come January 2014, my daughter will be retiring after 20 years as a New York City police officer, and I am so proud that even of all the stuff that I went through, I worked my butt off, and I made sure that she didn't go without, and I made sure that she didn't see the ugly side of this, and I taught her how to pick a mate, and she picked the perfect one. So God was in the works even through all of that, believe it or not. He was in the works. And he led me to my husband that I have now. We've been married 20 years, and I have never, ever looked back.
Wow. Well, we have another call. I'm going to bring this caller in and see if they have a question or comment. Good evening, caller 470-213. Are you there?
Hey, I'm here.
Hey, Mr. B. You got any questions or comments for this serious topic this evening?
Well, I was going to try and lighten the mood up a little because y'all sound so serious, and it is a serious topic because I had a sister. My sister went through something like that. But I think it was Rhea who was talking, but one of them was saying something about their daughters. Not going through. She basically was you know what I'm saying, like taught her, like in all cases it doesn't work like that, because my sister, she grew up with me. I'm the oldest boy, and we grew up with a father in the house, and it still happened to her. Like once someone gets her knees, no matter what you teach them, they're gonna do what they want to do. And the bad thing about her was she was letting this happen, and she knew better. Like she knew she had a father she can go to, or she knew she had a crazy brother that didn't play that. And my uncle's a killer, so you know what I'm saying. It's not basically how you choose it. It's the choice that they make in the long run.
I don't mean to cut you off, but let me say this. Rhea's situation was that her daughter, she was in an abusive relationship with her daughter's father. Have your mother and father ever been abusive to one another where your sister saw this or went through any type of trauma like that before she got into these relationships?
No.
Oh, okay. There's a whole different thing there. Maybe Rhea's daughter didn't want to you know, go for that stuff. So she basically guarded herself from it, as opposed to she's never even seen that or been involved in a relationship like that.
But
so
no one expects to go through that or wants to go through that. But it's, you know, sometimes the person can be so devilish that they put that fear in the person to say anything. Like, I will be over there and stuff. What just happened before I get there? And why would you not say something to me? Like, it happened. And the last time it happened, and she was 7 months pregnant. And the last time it happened, I had got there just after the police did. Or I would be in prison.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, the thing is, girls, these guys tell them stuff and they fall for this whoop-de-whoop, I'm this person, I'm that, and their dunces, their airheads for falling for, like she said, when somebody show you who they are, that's who they are. You know
right.
what I'm saying? You can't try to change nobody or make them into something that they're not. Just people are just people, and you have to, like, I have friends and stuff that I know ain't no good, but they're useful in certain situations. You know what I'm saying? And those are the situations that you need to just can't get upset with them because you knew who they were before everything. So you just have to accept them for who they are. Like, you know what I'm saying? I have a friend I know that's a thief. You know what I'm saying? I can't get mad if he steals something from me because I knew he was a thief from the beginning.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you just, yes. So you just have to, you know what I'm saying? I'm sorry that all of this had to happen to you guys. Like,
yeah, because
well,
I
appreciate the male point of view. I really do.
Right.
The reason women stay and go through it is so vastly different and so dynamic that you can't say why or what will work or what will not work. I knew me, and I know when I got into that relationship with him, I had no self-esteem. I did not feel good about myself. I did not like myself. I did not know what it was to love myself, but I was seeking love. And I'm a nurturer. I'm one that's going to put a love on the next person, and he was that next person. What right. I did in raising not just my daughter, but in raising all of mine, but particularly my daughter in this instance, when I was raising her, I wanted to make sure the things that allowed me to let myself remain in that situation as I did, they were not present in her life. And I can tell you as a 26-year-old woman that she knows who she is, she loves who she is, she cares about herself, and she cares about people, reaches out all the time. But you're not going to misuse or abuse her in any way whatsoever. She's not going to allow it. She's going to see certain signs. You're not going to treat her certain ways. She'll tell you point blank, that's the way you want to be? Okay, bye, see you. You can't be that way with me. Now, I can tell you right now, the woman that I am today, and everything about me speaks to that, nobody's gonna put their hands on me and just get away with it.
Mm-mm.
You know, I named my other one my bitch's name Rita. And when she rears her head, sometimes I don't have control over her.
Yeah,
I
okay?
knew.
Yeah.
I knew you was and, evil.
look.
Hey, not funny.
I knew you was crazy. We have another caller. We have another caller on the line. I'm going to bring this caller in. 410-497, are you there?
Hey, how's everybody?
Hey, Jade.
Hey.
What's
Hi, Jade.
Up, darling?
Another goddamn psycho.
I want y'all to know. Hold on, Mr. D, because this is a very powerful topic, so I really want to get in on this one.
Right.
I've really felt Rhea on what she was saying. For me, I was young. I was a teenager, okay? And my situation was, he was in his 30s. So I'm 15, and we're together for 3 years, and then I get pregnant. And a lot of people looked at that, like, this is a grown-ass man. You know, I couldn't see it because I was so young, and I felt like this was my protector.
He knew that.
He was, right, and he was taking care of me, but he was also dominant. And for me, I lost my father at a very young age.
Mm-hmm.
So it was also that father figure, so I will
me
admit
too.
That, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I dealt with the abuse, and I dealt with all kinds of stuff because I was afraid that he was going to take my child from me, because that was what he held over my head. So
mm-hmm.
that's how he controlled me as well, was
mm-hmm.
not only my age, but that he was going to take my only love, my bundle of joy, away from me if I left. You can leave, but if you leave, he stays. And so that's what I used to hear all the time.
Mm-hmm.
The abuse was horrible, and I feel like we have to teach our children, because my hurt and my pain was at such a young age that my mother kept trying to fight for me not to be with this man, but eventually gave up, gave in. And I felt like now as a grown woman, I feel like I have two boys. I don't have any daughters, Rhea. But if I had a daughter, I feel like I would have fought to keep her away from such a man. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
I would have known.
Mm-hmm.
Like, mommy knows what his intent was, but it was just
mm-hmm.
my persistence and being a hard-ass teenager that
mm-hmm.
felt like I can't do this because you keep being with him irregardless, so I throw my hands up. However, you know, it did make me stronger, so I had some mistakes, because had I had not dealt with that, I don't know how I would have been today. I don't know if I would have still endured abusive relationships
mm-hmm.
or even been in it. You know what I'm saying? But I learned from it, and I said, I'll be damned if this happened to me again. So
I know that's right.
What saying. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like I thank God that I have a husband who's never put his hand on me or never
right.
wants to put his hand. He doesn't even look like he's going to do it, because it's like,
mm-hmm.
don't flinch, brother, because it ain't going
mm-hmm.
to happen.
There you go. There you go.
But
there you go.
The thing about it is, it's like, had I had not endured that at such a young age, and say, at an older age as an adult, this
mm-hmm.
shit ain't going to happen again. It may have happened had I had not learned that lesson. So,
and the worst thing is the best man is the one who gets all the crap, because he's trying to do right, and we wait for him to do wrong.
Right.
Exactly.
I agree with you there. You're right.
And,
it's the truth.
And I had that happen to me before. Like, I was dating a girl and everything that, you know what I'm saying?
It happened,
like,
brother.
We get into an argument, oh, so what, you going to hit me now? Like, wait, where did this even come from? Like,
yeah.
Like, I'm telling you, for me, I'm the oldest. I'm the firstborn son. And I have three sisters underneath me. Now, I'm not proud of it. I've never put my hands on a female, but I've actually done things, like mentally, just to show females, to show my sister, like, don't let a nigga play you like this.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
because
if you let him, he'll do it. You
right.
know what I'm saying?
And then you can't stop him.
You can't. Mm-hmm. You can't stop him. You can't. If you let him do it, he's gonna do it. Don't be stupid.
That's the other side of life with my daughter, because she had her teachings from me, and this, that, and the other. But she also had three brothers, and my daughter sat back and watched and saw
the things
her brothers did to females. And
mm-hmm.
she was like, oh, I'd be damned if I... She said, I done seen all the tricks of the trade, sweetie. I done seen all the games. I done seen all the routine. She said, no. And then now she'll tell people, I'm 67% male. I can think what you're going to do before you do it. Don't bring it over here.
Mm-hmm.
I have two sisters that picked that up. But it was stupid. The oldest sister of mine, which is the one right underneath me, she says she's an airhead. She's so naive, ridiculous, and she was the one who seen it all first, but she still falls for it. And I know she got self-esteem issues and everything, you know what I'm saying? But I'm like, come on, I showed you this, you know what I'm saying? She's like
but
none of us have
kids. The real. That can hinder you. That can hold you in a headlock that you can't get past it.
It's hard.
There is no reason for you to have self-esteem issues.
That's what you say.
No.
Right.
That's
coming
out of
your
mouth.
Let me tell you
Wait
something.
But you can't say what a person not having
it's
self-esteem
not,
issues.
Mr. Big, here's the thing with that. But it took years for me to gain my self-esteem back.
Me too.
If
exactly.
somebody
mm-hmm.
tells you something over and over again, that's just like a kid. If you tell a kid they ain't shit, they ain't going to never be shit, guess what? They're going to grow up and feel like I'll never be anything. I'm
right.
never going to amount to
yep.
anything.
That's
and
the CIA
syndrome. Yeah. And
that's
not how, like, if he told me that I was ugly, unattractive, no man is going to ever want me, guess what? I believe that.
Mm-hmm.
I always set up there and say nobody is going to ever want me. Everything about me
and
is
you could be beautiful
stupid,
as I don't
all
know what.
The stuff,
yeah.
All
right.
The stuff that he said there and told me.
But she wasn't.
I
but the thing is that she wasn't brought up like that. You know what I'm saying?
It ain't got nothing to do with how you were brought up.
It doesn't have anything
to do with that. She didn't have to be brought up like that. Things happen.
My opinion, I don't want to offend nobody, but just my opinion. It's self-esteem. It's esteem of yourself. If you let a nigga bring you down, I feel that's stupidity.
No, let me say
not.
This. Excuse me, but you cannot say that that's stupidity. Because, number one, when somebody is constantly pouncing on you, making you believe these things, then eventually your self-esteem is going to sink regardless. Because people are not meant to be bruised, battered, and beaten. So if somebody's bruising and battering and beating you, eventually you're going to succumb to that, and you're going to actually think, well, he says I'm fat and ugly. That's how you're going to feel about yourself because he has instilled that in you. You may be the beautifulest woman in the world.
Then why be with him?
It comes to a point. You ever heard of somebody being in love with somebody?
Mm-hmm.
You just don't. You
that's
can't turn
love.
That switch on and off.
Yeah.
When
that's
you are in love with somebody,
you
just can't turn
yeah,
it off.
Yeah, but you can't. You don't know that until you're in it. And if you've never lived it, you can't say what somebody else might not do.
That's not love.
Yeah.
Look.
Let me ask you something.
I better than that. Just like you were saying, you taught your daughters and she watched her brothers and she don't take that. She was taught well. You know what I'm saying? And I commend you. She was taught well. That's why you're not going to pull the wool over her eyes. And I did my sisters the same way.
They receive those lessons the same way. Let me explain something to you. When she went into that relationship with him, she was already lacking, kind of weight. That's why he was able to feed on her.
Mm-hmm.
One thing you need to understand, and nature and life taught me this. A man said it to me, but life taught me this. Men can seek out a woman's vulnerability from across the airwaves.
That's right. I told you, Tony, I was too nice.
They pick up on that immediately, and they feed on that. And you know what? No matter what nobody say, no matter what nobody do, that's in her head. And that's
right.
The way she feels about herself. She's going to take it. She's going to do it. It's up to her.
Honestly, I'm just gonna be honest. I felt that was so stupid because you have a brother that defends you. You have uncles that defend you. You have fathers that defend you. I'm a trigger
person,
nigger.
Right?
It doesn't
you know
matter.
What?
It doesn't.
You know
that's
what?
Right.
When I was in this abusive relationship that I was in, I had my brother. And the guy that I was in the relationship with, they did almost come to blows a couple of times. But because I kept going back to him, you know,
exactly.
People and your family will say, well, I'm just going to stay out of it because she's going to go back
right.
to him anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore,
right.
you going back to this
women,
man until something drastic happens.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
exactly.
you know, you get out of it. But
their siblings, because I have four brothers and I did not tell anybody.
Yeah.
And when
you
they found
tell me,
out.
I found out through a friend. I found out through one of her friends as well. But you know what I'm saying?
No, I didn't tell my brother. They didn't find out. They didn't find out until later on, much later on, that I had endured the abuse that I had endured.
Mm-hmm.
And I will tell you another thing that that happens is that when you get tired and you fight back. Because when I finally fought back, that man tried to kill me. So it's when you get tired, and that's the thing. Here's the thing that is disheartening. When it's somebody like you who says there's no excuse, it's stupidity. You don't understand the abuse that goes in with it, that's going on behind closed doors.
Right.
Did any of y'all see the lady, what's her name, Shannon or Sharon? She was on Oprah. She was abused by her husband over and over again. Her son, who was, 11, 12, 13 years old, was recording his father.
Yeah, I saw that.
For hours and hours.
Yep.
And her little son was sitting there while this was going down.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And he was so terrified of this man. She had to call him at work. She had to call his master.
Yeah.
It was to the point that he terrified her that she had to, when she left the house, she had to call, and every move she made from the gas station was full for work. And
she had the sons even abusing the mother.
Right.
Yep.
He had his sons abusing their mother.
See, I noticed the son was always recording him beating on her.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what got him caught up in jail.
And that's what got him dead. Mm-hmm.
Right. That's what got him.
Yep.
And along with all of the stuff, they also locked up and tacked on all of the things that he hit her with and used those to add time to his thing. But she was so distraught. Her kids were so distraught. And you don't realize that it also impacts the children.
Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah.
On chanting over and over again how no good you are, it goes in your head. You start believing in it. There is no stress, Mr. B. There's no stress because they have
And he would call her fat and ugly.
And she was not fat or ugly. She was a nice-looking woman.
The statement you made about the stupidity, you would be surprised how that would make somebody take a nosedive. Because you put into words what this woman is already feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And this she's already, so it's like her being beat down all over again, believe it or not. Because see, it's when you shed light on it that a change is going to come. As long as you keep it in the dark and in the secret, then it ain't no change going to come. But when you shed light on it, first of all, they're fucking cowards. Okay? Men who beat on women are cowards because they will not go up against a man that same way.
Right.
Okay? And when she's already beat down by him, and then when she's ashamed. There's a shame associated with that is so thick it's hard to see through. Okay, I know in my case it was because I was a fighter. I was a strapper.
I beat ass
all the way around my neighborhood, but I never fought him back.
I wasn't either. It took me to fight him back.
And that shame is enough to keep you under a nail, under a fuck.
Let me explain why. I said it was stupidity. I felt it was stupidity. For one, her being my sister, and she would be the firstborn. Brothers and sisters fight, you know what I'm saying? And you know what I'm saying? I made her tough, you know what I'm saying? Now, for two, I felt it was stupidity because she outweighed this boy by at least 150 pounds, you know what I'm saying? The boy couldn't have been no more than 125 pounds. Now, me, I'm 250 pounds myself. If you can swing on me, But let somebody in the street.
But she didn't love you.
It's the word.
It does. That does not matter. Right there.
It matters.
And then no matter how big she is, I've never met a woman yet that could beat a man. So the size and all that did not make any difference.
Nope.
I have.
No.
I have.
Women just don't go down like that.
But women are nurturers
and feelers.
But the thing is, you outweighed him by at least 150 pounds. I'm your brother. You know what I'll do. You know I lose my mind. You know I don't care about going to jail.
Let me say this.
And the thing, I was banging. I was blood. You know what I'm saying?
Even with the abuse, even with all that a woman can endure from a man that's abusing her, a lot of times she is feeling still that I have to protect him. I don't want nobody to know our secret. So she'll hide the bruises, the abuse.
Mm-hmm.
I had I had a teacher that came to my house ready to fight my older son's father. And I was sitting up there rubbing his back. Not rubbing her. I'm rubbing his back because I'm worried about him jumping up. And she said, don't rub him. Your ass needs to be rubbing me because I'm about to jump over this damn table if I see another mark on you again. So this woman came there for me, to help me. And at the time, I was like, please don't tell nobody. Don't tell nobody. I was so scared. So my whole demeanor and my whole protection was him. Here's the problem with men that say it either is stupidity or I don't buy it type of thing. If you're not there, you have not endured it, you don't understand it.
That's right.
And not say anything. Because here I am, you know me. And by those of you who know me, know that I, my strength. But back then, I could go in the mirror and look in the mirror and bust out crying because I felt like I was so ugly, so messed up, and everything that he said to me was true about me. So if my whole emotional state, nervous system and everything, and my self-esteem was so low, I don't even know how, I can't even describe how low it was. But I could just cry at the drop of a hat because I was so terrified of everything that he put me through. And even just looking in the mirror at myself and saying,
And they get mad because you like that too. Oh, you ain't even gonna stand up for yourself. You just a mood, you know, you just too nice.
And this is the part that really made me mad. This is the part that made me mad because I think Rhea said something about being in the dark and then the light is.
Yeah.
If the neighbor did not call because he kicked the door in, she still would have never said anything. Now,
and
when
she
I,
would not when, have. You absolutely
yeah, when I confronted her and I asked her, we had gotten to arguing about it. I was like, this is years down the line. I was like, you're stupid. You talking about this girl getting beat up, but you went through the same thing with you know what I'm saying? How you gonna throw rocks and hide your hand, and you talking about this girl getting her ass whooped, and you was getting yours whooped a few years ago, and she gonna say to me, well, why you didn't do nothing about it? And I said, what the fuck? I should kill you and this nigga.
No. See, I mean, I don't know what you did about it, if you tried to help her out or anything like that, but at times my brother, like I said, my brother would intervene. And then it had got to a point where, because he knew, my brother knew that me and my friend, we were going to get back together. One point he had pulled a gun on me, and they had locked him up that night, and I was going to press charge. You know what my brother told me? Ain't no need you pressing charge because you know y'all going to get back together, and guess what? We did. You know, so it has to be a thing where you would have to pick yourself up. First of all, I think at that particular time, because I was really in love with this guy, but he had just done so many things to me until I was really losing my self-esteem. He had 4 children when we was in a relationship, you know, just different things that he was doing. So eventually I was to a point where I wasn't loving myself anymore. I was more concerned about him, more concerned about keeping us together, working on a relationship, this and that. And then, you know, when it finally got down to the point of us actually separating and getting out of that relationship was because I actually caught him in the act of cheating. He had been cheating all during the relationship. Well, not all during it, but the times when he was cheating and people was telling me, even the girl that I caught him with, she was telling me. But for some reason, I still, you know, was hanging in there until I finally caught them together. So something just went off in my head. This is it. Get out now.
Exactly.
You know, so eventually I just, you know, the love started dissipating, and eventually I just fell out of love with him, but I still loved him. I still had love for him, but it was to a point where he could not call me like he would always call me, make up, bring me flowers, bring me candy, take me out to dinner, buy me this and do me that, you know, to get me back in his good graces so he could abuse me all over again. So it had gotten to that point where I said to myself, this has got to end. You have got to get yourself together. You know, just cut it off right now. We had even at one point we was going to get married. We got downtown and got in an argument. Going to get the marriage license, we got in an argument. And I said to myself then, oh, no, because I could see that it wasn't going to be good because we're arguing before we even get the license. And after that, you know, everything was like just, you know, it was just terrible after, you know, I think, well, for the first 8 years, I would say, was really good. The rest was pure hell, you know. Mm-hmm. So I just had to just say to myself, well, you know, I deserve better, you know, and got out of that relationship. And, you know, I haven't really been in love with anybody since then. I have been in other relationships where I loved the guys that I was with. But as far as, like, being in love with somebody again, I don't think that will ever come to my heart again because, number one, my heart was broken. And just like Al Green said, how do you mend a broken heart? When your heart is broken, do you know that is the worst pain that you could ever feel in your life? As far as I'm concerned, it was the worst pain. It was worse than having my children, and that's some hurtful pain right there. But when my heart was broke, I could not eat, I could not sleep, I could not think. I was just like a zombie. And it was the worst pain. I mean, just crying all the time. I mean, I would never, ever, ever want to go through that pain again.
I know that's right, and I'm not.
But, you know, and you know, men, they have a tendency to feel that they're the ones that hurt the worst. You know, she cheated on me, and I'm not going to ever do this. But, hey, what about all the times you cheated on us? We're going to take
a
break.
I have a man tell me that is different for men. They feel it deeper. After about two go-arounds, I just shut up because it was no use. But there is no way that it just doesn't exist. Because almost everything about us still anyway. And it can change the core of who you are, okay? It can change completely in both. So it's not here nor there. But, no, they don't feel it more deeply than women do.
Right.
You're wrong about that.
I can attest to.
I know I don't. I tell them it's kick rocks.
I know that's right. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the signs of abuse and how to get out of an abusive relationship. We'll be back in a few.
She says no one in her family loves her. She says her friends she can't trust because they're snakes. She says I'm the only one who loves her. And she says she loves me. She says she loves me. So she clings to me, even when I don't want to be bothered. She clings to me. She says she loves me. Like when I wake up in the morning, she's sitting on the edge of the bed with my plate of food ready to feed me. She says she needs me. She says she loves me. Even when I want to be left alone, she says she loves me. Like when I'm getting out the shower, she's standing there with the towel, wanting to dry me off. She says she loves me. And I don't know love, because I was raised in an orphanage where I had no family, and the bees around me, all they wanted to do was get away. But she says she loves me. And when she's looking in my eyes and she's telling me she loves me, I feel something that I can't explain, that I cannot name, so I say that it's love. 'Cause she says she loves me. She says she loves me. Even when I want to be left alone, she says she loves me. All I want sometimes is some peace, just to be by myself. But she's always there. She's always on my heels. I cannot even feel my own body without her touching me, asking me, do she want me to make love to her? She says she loves me. And sometimes I lose control and I hit her. And I hit her. But she forgives me because she says she loves me. Even when I want to be left alone. And at times when I feel in the mood to talk or something's on my mind, she listens. Sometimes she gives advice. She says when I give her a cue. She says she loves me. Even when I'm mad as hell, she's standing there trying to calm me down, trying to ease my pain, cause she says I am her man. She says she loves me. Even when the neighbors call the cops, she telling them, no, stop. I fell in the shower. I walked into a cabinet. I tripped and hurt myself. She says she loves me. Even when her mother tells her to get a restraining order, she tells her mother that I didn't do nothing wrong. She tells her mother that she was wrong. Because she is afraid to admit that I am evil. If she admits, she will have to admit that I hurt her. And she will have to admit that she's made another mistake. Like the kids that she loved were by four different men. But she says she loves me. Even when I want to be left alone, she says she loves me. And when I lost my job, times are already hard trying to feed a family of six. I hate that when I walked in a house, all I want to be is left alone. But she's on my heels telling me, what is wrong? Do we need to talk? But we gon' be able to carry on. I tell her I lost my job. Give me some space. She says she loves me. Even when I try to walk away, she's behind me. I walk in the room and I try to close the door, but she holds it and I lose control and I beat her. I beat her and I beat her. I can hear her nose break. I can see her face. I can see her face. I can see the tears. I have seen the black eyes. I have seen her cry, but I hit her. So I try to walk away, but she keeps on following me. So I hit her again and I hit her again into the living room. And I can feel her bones and her face crack. Because when I hit her, I never hold back. She says she loves me as I beat her into the hall and on into the streets. She's telling me, crying, screaming, baby, stop. And she loves me. But I am out of control and I don't even know that I keep on hitting her. And when she's hit the ground, my feet, they start to pound. And I don't even stop. She says she loves me. And I don't even know when her body starts to convulse. She says she loves me. And as she lay there dying, I only stop because now that I'm crying, I'm not even aware that she's hurt. But I look at my hands and they're swollen, bleeding. And I may have even broke my knuckle. But when I look at her on the ground and see that this is wrong, something ain't right, she ain't breathing right. And I kneel beside her. I wish I can get inside her and heal all the pain that I've caused. But I know that this is my fault. And before her last breath, she looked at me. She tried to reach for me, but she was so weak. But she managed to say she loves me. She said she loves me. And she loves me until death does us a part. In 2004, 47 pregnant women were beaten, stabbed, shot, smothered, driven off a cliff. And the alleged suspect was their ex-boyfriends, boyfriends, husbands. Ladies, if you're being hurt, you got to get out that relationship before this story ends up being your story. She says she loves me.
Hi,
I'm Gail Delicious Johnson. I'm more than just a radio personality. I'm also a best-selling author of 5 published books, publisher, ghostwriter, poet, and a speaker. My latest book, a fast-paced, action-packed, drama-filled novel titled Back to Zero, is available. You can order your autographed copies of Back to Zero and any of my books from my website at www.deliciousbooks.webs.com/apps/webstore/. If you're looking to have your dreams come true in a book, look no further. I am the founder and owner of my own independent publishing company, JJ Publishing. JJ Publishing offers service to fit the new or seasoned author's budget. There are no hidden fees. I display a professional business attitude towards my client while treating them with dignity and respect. My mission is to make the first-time author as well as the seasoned author's use of JJ Publishing services a most beneficial and memorable experience. Back to Zero is selling out fast. Don't be left out. Go to my website. Again, that address is www.deliciousbooks.webs.com/APPS/WEBSTORE/. After you make your purchase, check out my website. I thank you all in advance.
Well, all righty, we're right back here at Delicious Talk, bringing sexy back. And if you have any questions or comments, feel free to call in. The call-in number is 646-652-2877. And tonight we're discussing the undercover abuser. Domestic violence, this is a very serious topic. So if you have anything you'd like to add or questions or comments, feel free to call in again. That number is 646-652-2877. And like I had mentioned, we're going to also talk about the signs of abuse and how to get out of an abusive relationship. And I have a number in case someone is in an abuser who's listening and is in an abusive relationship and, you know, needs to call for help. Okay, first I want to say about that piece. That was Lamont Carey's piece. She says she loves me. And that, if you listen to
that,
the
almost
words,
brought tears to my eyes. I just want to tell y'all, that was
a piece. That shit was ill. I ain't even going to front. It was
that almost brought tears to my eyes at the end part. Wow.
Right. It does that because it's just so powerful, you know, how he even speaks of it, you know, and how this woman is loving this man, and he's been hurt, you know, so hurt people, and she just wants to be loved.
And it tells how you might end up that way.
Right.
I like that he closed it like that when he said, yeah, you know, ladies, you got to get out of it, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. B, did you also hear where he spoke of her self-esteem, why this girl was in it the way she was in it, because
mm-hmm.
of her self-esteem? She was looking for love, you know, but
mm-hmm.
he never had love himself. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's like the blind leading the blind.
Both of them this together. I think that what the poem was good, but what really made it made you feel it was his delivery.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The way he delivered it, he delivered it like with emotion, and like it's something
mm-hmm.
that he did, you know what I'm saying, before it.
Yeah.
And I think that's what really, like, you know what I'm saying, made it stand out. The delivery was crazy.
Yeah, it makes you think it was a situation that he was in, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But he was.
I know when I listened to it for the first time on the CD,
mm-hmm.
I had to listen to it in parts because I kept stopping it because I couldn't
mm-hmm.
hear it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time it got to the end, I just sat there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, wow.
Right.
You know,
and you
Rhea,
can order his CD off of the internet at www.lamont, I think it's lamontcarey.com.
It is.
Or either you can go to CD Baby and order it as well. The CD is beautiful. It's really beautiful.
It is.
Mm-hmm. It's
Gail
beautiful.
And Rhea, I was listening to Mr. D. Is that his name, Mr. B?
Yeah.
D? And he was talking about earlier about, you know, why can't women see this? Where do they get this low self-esteem? Well, I was saying early on in the program that when I was 16, I was raped by a school person that I went to school with, not being very naive, not knowing that this person would ever do anything like that. I think that started me on the road to my low self-esteem. And I'm not no dog or nothing. You know, I get my share of people wanting to, you know, even though I'm married and everything, I still get my share of people, you know, telling me how beautiful I am, and I believe that I am. But when you have been degraded like that, and you've been put at knife point like that by a school person that you go to school with, what kind of self-esteem do you think is going to come out of that?
Right.
As a child, as a teenager.
But I understand that. But the thing is that really baffles me is the saying something. Like, you know what I'm saying? I don't know how someone can put that much fear into a person with a,
wow.
You know what I'm saying? Let me
stop you right there. Let me tell you how they can put that much fear in a, and especially in a woman. Because number one, we're not built to fight men. We're
right.
not really built to fight, period. But if a man is constantly choking you, beating you, hitting you, that is fear right there.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore,
that,
it doesn't even matter how much of fear he puts in you. The point of the matter is he's putting that fear in you. So
well,
therefore,
that,
you can't say
the,
that, you know, you can't understand
that.
Pardon?
Oh, boy.
I said, let's add the feelings that we put into that relationship. So even with all the feelings and the love that you put into that relationship, you want in your heart to believe that he loves you and that he's going to stop. Eventually, every time he tells you he's going to stop, we want to
believe
that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we feel like this is going to end. It could be the 15th time he's done it.
Mm-hmm.
And people can tell you, girl, he's going to kill you. You need to stop, leave him alone. And you still think, no, he's going to stop, or he means well. Or whatever excuses that you give him because
he
your
just had
heart
a bad
and
day.
Your love is so into
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Right.
So yeah, I think that we should get into that the signs because
yeah, the signs of abuse.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, I have a few here, and you ladies can chime in anytime if you have any. If you're in a relationship, and all of a sudden he isolates you from your family and your friends, that's a red flag.
Yeah.
And if he starts picking your friends for you, or if he starts picking out the clothes you wear. Or if he's asking you a lot of questions, and if he's not letting you work, you know, that's a sign of an abuser. There are many.
Before you can think, you know, I was kind of in a relationship like as a man. I had my ex, as a matter of fact, she was like that. She was always hacking into my stuff. I was in school one night and I introduced her to a couple of my classmates, and she was like, I already know all of them. And they looking at each other, and we all looking at each other like, how you know everybody already? This chick done went online. She's a hacker. She done hacked into everybody's stuff, the whole class, and can tell
you who was who
in the class.
That's a dangerous person.
Yeah,
huh?
Maybe she was insecure, or maybe you had said or did something to cause her to act that way. Do you think?
These are guys.
No,
like,
I'm just saying, you said the girl who was hacking into your stuff, maybe you gave her a reason to act that way as far as, like, hacking into your emails and stuff like that.
But to go up to the school and, like, you know, if I'm introducing you to this person and you, like, I already know the person, you know what I'm saying? And they looking like, how you know me? You know what I'm saying? And then you finally you tell me like later
she
on
was
you get
stalker,
home.
That's all.
Like, she was crazy, controlling.
Yeah.
She didn't want me to hang around with certain people and this and that. Like women have that that issue too. You know what I'm saying?
Men are abused too now. Don't get us wrong. Men
right,
are abused.
Right, right. There are abusive women too. You know, men have been abused by women.
I have seen a guy that was abused by his wife, and he stayed in a relationship. So and I don't want to call it interesting. You know, I shouldn't use that word, but it was. It was interesting to see a guy go through that because I never had. I always said I could relate to you or talk to you. So to see him go through that, it's like, man, why are you putting yourself through that? And he was so fearful. And they had a daughter together. He didn't want to, like, with myself, with my son, he didn't want to lose his daughter. So he stayed in it.
Yeah. I used to work with a guy who was being abused by his wife, and he would come to work with black eyes, but he had opened up to a close friend on the job and told him what happened, because he would tell us, like, he hit his eye on a whatever, you know, telling different things that happened to him, but his wife was abusing him, and the reason why he stayed in that relationship because of the children, and then the fact of the matter that he loved her, and he basically... You know, he just stayed in that relationship for, I don't know if he's still with her or not, but this was years ago. But, you know, he would come to work like us with black eyes. And when men are abused, sometimes they don't hit a woman back because maybe they came from an abusive relationship. They may have seen their mother or father being abused, and they make it up in their mind, I will never, ever, ever hit a woman regardless.
Well,
those
they might
are the
have
type
been
of
taught.
Men.
They might have been actually taught not to put
their hands
on people.
Yeah, I was taught that.
Right.
I had a girl
that
on
those
me before.
Are men that don't
I wanted to
do that.
I wanted to punch your throat in, but I didn't. I couldn't bring myself to do it. One time she broke my toe. She tricked me.
Well, see, I got this attitude with, I'm going to get him before he gets me. That was my whole thing. After all this stuff jumped off, after I got into this whole thing of never again, my thing was, I'm getting you before you get me.
Mm-hmm.
So if you even look like you coming this way, you either leave
you
and
know,
take a walk, or you finna get something finna get on your head. I mean,
I know
seriously,
that's right.
You
I'm
know
done, and I'm
so
not,
funny.
And I'm not proud of it.
Right.
You know what's so funny that you saying that though is that I did that to my husband. We got into it one day, and he just walked past me. Just walked past me like I'm not leaving until we have this conversation, and I just. It just brought me back to that place.
Yeah.
I said, it will not happen again. And I just reached up and hit him.
Yeah.
And he was like, I never put my hand on. How could you?
Sorry.
And I'm thinking, like I said, like I told y'all earlier in the show, I said, if you
yeah, he brought it out, you know. That's right. Right,
that's
because
right.
If I ever.
We gotta set the record straight. It ain't going to happen in this
that's
relationship.
Right. That's right.
Right, and that's why it's good to know the signs of an abuser, because that way if you get into a relationship, as soon as you're in that relationship for a couple of months and he's telling you, well, I don't think you need to go over your mother's house today. Now, you've been going over your mother's house every Saturday and Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden he don't want you over there. A red flag needs to go up.
That's
and
true.
You need
that's
to either tell him, I'm going to my mom's or we're not going to be in this relationship.
Right.
You know, because, that you know, sometimes we let things just fly over top of us.
And
you know, we're not paying
attention
to.
It's
right, we're not paying attention to.
And then when it ends up, there's nothing you can do.
Right.
Right.
You
absolutely.
Can't pee
so,
without him.
Absolutely.
I had a boyfriend come to the daggone, a hairdresser with me, came on my, this same one that I have for 4 years that's dead now, he would come to job interviews with me.
Mm. Wow.
Now, what
that's
is that cool. about?
Yeah.
You want to make sure
so you have any other. Yeah, so do you ladies have any other signs that we may can give out to the listener audience, you know, besides the ones that I've given out?
The shoving, the grabbing, grabbing the arm, the shoving.
The raising
right.
of the voice.
Right.
Raising your voice.
Controlling.
I don't want to say always.
Controlling.
Yeah.
Can I give one out? I just want to give one out. The watching you sleeping. That's some bullshit.
The what?
And the watching
no,
you while you sleeping.
True. That's not true.
Watch you while you sleeping.
No, I watch sleeping.
No,
I watch
it's true. It's,
sleep.
You know, I had a girl watch me sleep because she was mad at me. My ex, she was
you
mad at me. I don't
you.
And
you
this,
put,
and this,
you put that in the people, Mr. B.
I'm telling you, and she was mad at me, and she was watching me sleep the whole, and I woke up, and I just looked at her staring at me.
And you gotta watch
that. No, and I was like, why are you staring? She was like, because I saw the bust you in your head. With
yeah, she probably was just scamming and scheming the whole night as how what she was going to do to you, but then calm down because, you know, for somebody to do that all night, there's something that's going through their mind.
Oh, yeah.
Believe me.
Oh, yeah.
You lucky
something is going through their mind because they're not just staring at you for nothing.
See, my thing with mine is if I keep telling you, if I tell my husband or whatever, okay, that's enough now, you know, let it go, and you're just going to keep going, now you finna get the wrath.
Right.
I told you to stop. I asked you to stop. Okay,
right.
Now I'm finna go bipolar on you because now you're making me, you know, you're getting into
sister.
That zone.
But she's
you, you're
like
getting
me.
Into that zone, you know, because actually, quiet as a cat, okay, all right, I admit it, I'm bipolar, okay? But I'm going to tell you something. If I say stop, let it go, let's, another time, just stop.
Right.
Please.
And another thing
Absolutely.
Is idle threats. If he's constantly
Please.
Threatening to
yeah.
do this to you, to do that to you, believe him.
I have one.
Nine times out of ten, you've thought about that before or you've thought through that. And I don't care what nobody say. They can. I lived it, and you cannot convince me otherwise. Those drunk talks, you better listen to that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So why
you
won't
hear
things
that you won't hear when they sober?
Say that again, Rhea.
Oh,
the drunk
talk.
Because the drunk mind speaks a sober tongue.
Yeah, you ain't lying.
I agree with that because I would tell you everything you want to know and what you don't want to know if I'm drunk. I would tell you
that. Drunk mind speaks a sober tongue. Believe me.
Are there any other signs
before we go to telling them how to get out of an abusive relationship?
Yes,
any other signs?
Yes. When he tells you where you've been at and he ain't supposed to know, like you tell him, I'm going out, I'll be back or whatever, and all of a sudden, so, yeah, you have fun. You have
I don't
fun
give itineraries.
Huh?
I don't give itineraries. To my
you
husband,
don't have
I don't.
Give itinerary, but I'm
I
saying,
don't.
I'm saying Mm-mm. because I know, I knew of a guy who used to watch her every move.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a dude that I dated.
It starts like
every
that.
Move. When mm-hmm. she was trying to figure out how did he know when she moved her car.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, how did he even know I moved my car and I'm parking in the same parking place or whatever? Come to find out, he was marking her tire.
Oh, Lord.
Then, in addition to that, he started having recording tapes. It was recording tapes. He was putting the recording tapes in her car
to find
out who was. So those kind of signs, ladies, especially when they know where you've been at, and this is like an episode where they're not supposed to know, like you just, not that you're keeping a secret,
but you just left that out,
and all of a sudden, So you said you was at your girlfriend's house. No, you was at that club down the street. And you looking like, wait a second. I never told you that. How do you know this? That's a sign. He was at the club.
I wouldn't take that.
My second husband did that. Yes, he did. Mm-hmm.
So we're going to get on to the to getting out of an abusive relationship. First thing that you must do while you're in an abusive relationship is to tell somebody. Let somebody know what's going on. I don't care if it's your mother, father, sister, brother, but somebody needs to know what's going on in that abusive relationship. Then you make plans. You get all your important papers together that you're going to take with you. Then you also have a time, you know, that you're going to leave because you have to also keep an eye on him.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure he's gone to work, you know, and give yourself time to pack some suitcases and hide them somewhere in the house.
Ladies,
and,
I didn't pack a suitcase. I just want y'all to know. I didn't pack a suitcase. My mother told me to get out. I grabbed my son and an 11x13 picture of my son and ran out the house.
No, that's right.
Some people, they may want to take the children's clothes and things like that. So if that's necessary, but sometimes you're right, you may have to leave with just the clothes on your back. But if you're planning an escape, these are the things that you need to do. And also have important numbers that people you need to call. Know where you're going once you get out of that situation. Maybe you can have a place set up with a friend or whatever, but just don't leave and don't have anywhere to go because, you know, if you're out there on the street, he's going to come out there and get you. And if you're going into a shelter or anything like that, make sure that, well, they won't tell him where you're at.
No,
but,
they don't
you know,
tell.
These are some of the things that, you know, you
I've
need to do, right, to, you know,
I,
make your escape.
I just want to give one leaf. Just leave. Just leave everything and leave. And if you come back with the sheriff's department or the police department, someone, an escort to help you get your stuff out.
Sometimes the police doesn't help, though.
Wait,
right.
I was getting ready to get to that. Let me finish. This is the reason I say to come back with an escort or somebody, because if y'all are living in a house and you call for saying that you're abused, and you ask him to leave, they don't have to leave that house if they've been living there for 30 days. The police will tell you they don't have to leave. So that's the point of me saying you leave and come back and get your stuff with some help or some escort or an escort or, you know what I'm saying, or somebody that can protect you.
Right. Mm-hmm. When you're finished, Ms. Delicious, I have the house of Bruce number that I can give as well unless you have it.
Oh, okay. Well, I have a 1-800 number safe that they can call, but you can give out that number as well because, you know, and you know, women, please let somebody know that you're in those abusive relationships because if nobody knows and you end up dead somewhere, you know, it's possible that the person, your husband, boyfriend, significant other, like Lamont spoke in that point, it's a possibility that they can get away scot-free because you never told anybody he was abusing you. You know, they find your body, you all beat up, and he crying. Well, I don't know what happened. But he's the suspect, and he's the one that killed you, but nobody never knew that he was abusing you. So you have to tell somebody, let somebody know, make your plans. You know, like if you have to just leave with the clothes on your back, like Mr. B said, get an escort, the police, sheriff, or somebody to come back and get your things and, you know, just disappear, so to speak. But, you know, some of these men, they're just crazy for no reason, no reason whatsoever, and some of them will find you, stalk you, and eventually kill you. But, you know, you have to plan and be one step ahead of them, you know, because if he goes to work, or sometimes if he goes to sleep, he might not wake up the same person he went to sleep with, because I'd crazy glue his eyelids together, I'd crazy glue his dick to his back, his hands to his forehead, his legs together. He'd be so crazy glued up till he won't even know who he is. So, you know, that also, because I can't understand, well, I can't understand, you know, how some women there, a man will beat him up, have sex with him, then he go to sleep. Well, you can go to sleep all you want, but you will not wake up the same man you went to sleep in my bed.
And y'all can take
you know.
A hammer and hit his kneecap with it, make sure he don't get up.
Yep. Bust him upside the head a few times with that 2x4, like Terry said. I mean, like Chris said.
I don't condone none of this stuff.
And then,
I feel some kind of way. I know it's wrong. I'm feeling some kind of way, though. I don't condone any of this violence, okay? Don't hit me in my knees. Don't do none of that stuff, okay?
This is just directed to the abusers and the cowards that beat on women. You know, and he's not a man. Men don't beat on women. Cowards and males do. But a real man will not hit a woman. And then a real man is going to treat his woman like a queen anyway, so there won't be any reason for them to be arguing, fussing, and fighting and getting to the point where I want to kill you, you want to kill me. You know, you're in a loving relationship with your husband, and that's the way it's supposed to be. These cowards out here that have been in abusive relationships or been abused themselves, you know, I would never, ever, and we really didn't get to the depth of what I really wanted to talk about tonight because I had been raped when I was 15 and molested when I was 16 and molested when I was 10. But that didn't make me want to go out and rape anybody or molest anybody. It made me feel that I had some type of empathy for people when they went through those changes, you know, being raped and molested. You know, I didn't really want to rape anybody because I didn't want them to feel the way that I felt. That's the worst feeling in the world besides having your heart broken. Somebody violates you like that. You know,
part of the reason I went 22 years.
I know it's not funny. But I
without
just thought
a relationship is because
that's
I didn't
bad.
Want to subject a man to what he was going to get as a result of what I had been in. I had to make sure
mm-hmm.
I was healed first.
Right.
And there is a healing process.
Right.
Yes, it is.
Mr. Listen, if I was you, for a number of years, every time a man thought about having sex with me, I just cut his dick off. Like, you want to do what?
You know what? I'm going to say this. And this is the God's honest truth. And I mean this from the bottom of my heart. If there are any abusers out there listening, any rapists out there listening, this is what I would do for you. I would cut your dick off. Not doing the mental castration, because that's what they do. They do this mental. But I would cut your dick off, split it, fry it, and force you to eat it. Cut your tongue out, both of your hands and your feet. Make an example of one of them. I bet the rapes will cut down. They may not stop, but I bet a person, before they even think about raping somebody, they will say to themselves, do I really want my dick cut off? Do I really want my tongue cut out? That's how I would handle it if I was a
judge. They're going to remember you. And then they'll be like,
right.
Oh, I ain't going to do that. I remember that guy that she did Miss Delicious, how she handled
judge.
Him.
I don't think
you know, it's
because
no fun.
The punishment needs to be just as harsh as the crime, because these
right.
men are raping babies, little kids,
yeah.
women, and they are
yeah.
beating them to death, doing all kind of things to them, and they give them 6 months in jail, or they have
yeah.
to have, walk around being known as a pedophile or rapist. And then they come out and do the same thing over again.
Yeah.
Rapists and murderers,
right.
they should never be let out of jail.
That's right. No parole.
Never.
And I don't think it's fun just to walk around with balls. I don't know if that you just walk
oh,
around with balls.
Oh, the balls coming off too. They go with the dick. You're not gonna have nothing down there.
I know that.
You come before Judge Delicious. Trust and believe.
No, I think that's
served.
A worse punishment. I think that's a worse punishment.
It is.
To cut the penis
that's
off
the
and just leave the balls. I think that. I think that's bad. I think that's worse than cutting everything off. Just leave the balls.
I would seriously do that. I'm sorry.
No, leave one ball. Just leave one.
Can you imagine?
How you gonna explain that to your new girlfriend? I got one ball. One ball.
Can you imagine your girlfriend pulling your pants down and you just got nuts hanging? Like,
you got one ball. No, one.
It wouldn't be no good in him pulling his pants down. He probably, you know what he probably would do? He probably just go somewhere and kill himself or go somewhere and just forget about life.
Look, he just got nuts and he calls it erectile dysfunction.
Hold on. And it's the lopsided. Remember, you got to make sure, because, you know, guys, sometimes y'all have an uneven ball, so we got to get the one that's hanging the most.
Right.
Take that one and
I'm with Jay. What
needs
ball?
To shrivel up
yeah,
and put and
bad.
look, put a butt plug in them. Let them wear a butt plug the rest of their life.
Oh,
that's so too much.
So I have no tolerance for rapists, and they are the main people that I don't care nothing about.
Because it ain't necessary.
Right.
Right. They are a non-factor.
That's a sickness.
And I don't even know how a man can get erect to rape somebody. Like, I don't understand how that's possible.
It's not about that. It's about control, son.
Right. It's not about the rape. It's about the control and the fear that they inflict on the person
that's right.
that
they
they're
like
raping.
That's what it is.
That's
their turn-on. They never get sex. It ain't even about that. It's about what
right.
I could do.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well,
that's what it's about. So we're getting down to the hour, and I'm going to give out this number, and Jade is going to give out the what number do you have, House of Ruth, Jade?
Okay. The House of Ruth number here in Baltimore, Maryland is 410-889-7884. That's 410-889-7884.
Okay, and the number I have is 1-800-799-7233, and you can call that number if you're in an abusive relationship. And tonight's
right.
topic has really been intense, and it was a very good topic, and I'm glad that we had this
it
topic,
was a
and I'm
very
glad
good
that
topic, and I'm glad
right,
I called.
Right. I'm glad that everybody mm-hmm. who called in and was in the chat room participated and my other listeners mm-hmm. out there. And Bring It Sexy Back is for the mature listening audience, as you all know, and our subject matter is sexual, but not limited to other social topics. We discuss relationships, current events, issues relevant to everyday life. And we appreciate you, our listening audience, for your questions and comments. And if you have a topic you'd like for us to discuss or would like to be a guest on the show, send me an email at gjdelicious37@gmail.com or to Rhea Alexis, that's rheaalexis@yahoo.com. Now, I don't know about Mr. B because he's a sometime co-host, but I will give you his email address as well. That's Ancrum Michael. That's ancrummichael@gmail.com. And
yes.
In the subject line, type topic or guest. We're here every Wednesday from 10:30 p.m. for an hour to an hour and a half, sometimes 2 hours, depending on the topic, you know, that we're discussing of adult conversations. And tune in every first Friday starting in January at 11 p.m. for open topics, and the last Friday at 10 p.m. for my musical shows, which are slow jams or house music from the 50s on up. On Sunday at 7 p.m., please stop by Gail's Blues Joint for some of the blues and sassy music. and everything is free over there, the drinks, the admission, and the food. And we have a drink over there called the Back to Zero Martini. And sometimes Jay sends me cases of martinis over as well. This week we had the Climax drink over there, which was delicious. Thank you for that, Jay.
I've got to come over there with y'all.
Right. Every Sunday at 7 p.m. Now, remember, Bringing Sexy Back does not mean you've lost your sexy. Bringing Sexy Back is a state of mind and how you perceive yourself. Thank you, Rhea. Thank you, Terry, for being my co-host and my guest co-host.
Welcome, dear.
Thank you, Jay. And
thank you
for
having
Michael
me.
For coming on tonight. Being he's our wandering co-host. So thank you for showing up.
I enjoyed it.
Right, and I appreciate you guys for the participation, right, and the listening audience out there. And remember, if you're in an abusive relationship, tell somebody, get help, get out of it, because it's not your fault. You know, every woman deserves to be treated like a queen. So if you're not getting that treatment, you're with the wrong person.
Mm-hmm.
With that being said, I want to say good night to everybody. Thank
good
you.
Good night, everybody.
And have
good
a
night.
Beautiful evening.
Okay.
Good night.
Good night.
Hey, don't leave the man one ball.
Right now, we got the best radio show on the internet.
Good night, everybody.
Goddamn baby.
Good night.
You little goddamn baby. You always got something to say.
That's my baby. Shut up.
I know that's right. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.